Great to see each and every one of you here today. Thank you for being here, especially in light of the business meeting that we'll be having between services. We did need a quorum, and it looks like we just very well may meet that. So thank you for being diligent and really being a help to us this morning. But we're glad to meet with you regardless, because we get to look into the Word today. We get to be encouraged in the faith today. We get to meet with God today through the Spirit. And so that is exciting enough in itself. So we trust that you have come excited and anticipating what the Lord has for us this morning. What we'll do is we'll pray, and then we'll begin our adult Sunday school hour this morning. Let's pray together. Father, how wonderful you are. How grand, how majestic, and how good. And Lord, to recount the many ways to which you have been good to us is just an amazing thing, beyond number. And to think of all the ways that you show your love on a daily basis, and even this morning granting even new mercies beyond the mercies that were new the morning before, and day after day. And we thank you for that, and we thank you for this morning to look into your word today, and we would pray that you would speak with us, you would meet with us, that you would encourage and strengthen us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a short hiatus from our standard Sunday school study for two reasons. Number one, because we have an abbreviated Sunday school hour this morning, so it'll go by pretty quick. And number two, because it's that holiday season, and we're about to have two holidays right upon us within the week or so. And those, of course, go thematic more than they do standard fare. So it's going to be a little bit of a spread break, and then, boop, we'll be back kind of to normal with some new studies. But in the interim this morning, we thought we would take a bit of time to be encouraged. To be encouraged in the way God is working, to be encouraged in the way God is speaking, and to be thinking about the things which he may have to tell us today. And we are in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, obviously not going to get very far through this, but just through the first few verses, verse 4 particularly. And we're going to look today at the declaration of the glory of God and what that declaration does for us and how that declaration specifically works on a daily basis. So Psalm 19, we'll read just simply the first four verses together, and then we'll look at this in more specific. The scriptures say in Psalm 19, starting in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." The heavens declare the glory of God. Simply the visible sky. So when you walk out this morning and you looked, you were probably as thankful as I was that being 19 degrees, there was not precipitation coming down, because that would mean a whole lot of things. Number one, that would mean that everything we wear, which is really dress-up-y, just provides an ample number of room for all that snow to go right down your neck and really aggravate the tar out of you, being so cold and miserable. And then, of course, we wear all these coats that are made with all that fluff and puff and down, but the outside is that really slickery stuff, and that gets colder than the actual air. So when that little thing, the wind blows and it smacks you in the face, that's colder than the snow. So you walk outside and you look and you say, "Thank you, Lord, that this is not ice," because it could be. But the heavens are simply the visible sky, and we look in the visible sky in the day, and we see some kind of handiwork, some kind of artwork of God. And indeed, the heaven, the visible sky, does in fact declare God's glory. And the word declare means it scores with a mark. You know, like when you're counting, you do the 1, 2, 3, 4, and you draw the fifth line across, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you draw the fifth line across. That's a score. That's scoring with a mark. So the heavens declare, they score with a mark, the glory of God. In other words, they count, recount, and number, reckoning and rehearsing and enumerating the many, many glories of God. And so when you and I looked at the sky this morning to get in our cars to come here, did that fact strike us? Did that strike us? They declare his splendor. They declare his dignity. They declare his honor. They simply declare his glowing radiance. So in instance, it isn't just that the heavens speak the glory of God as a simply to announce some single manifestation, "Give God glory, look what he's done." But they count them in number. They count them in number. Something Frederick Lehmann seemed to understand perfectly when he penned the words, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament, the expanse, or the arch of the sky, literally the horizon, the vault of heaven, as it were. And the difference between the heaven and the firmament is the same as the difference between space and the earth's atmosphere. You look out into space and you see the celestial bodies. You look in the atmosphere and you see the clouds. But the firmament, that's the difference. And they literally make to stand out. They show in bold display the work of God's hands, his labor, his achievement, his might, his power. And so I ask you again, when you looked at the sky this morning and God in your car on the way here, is that what you thought of? And they stretch out the power of the hands. So together, the heavens and the firmaments are the messengers of God, as it were, and they are to all the earth recounting his glory over and over, boldly displaying his power, glory and power. And that's what they say. And that's where we pick up Romans 1, where the same theme is there unequivocally. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, because that which may be known of God is manifest, for God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world clearly being seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And that's just the point. That's just the point. Why would we then care to look out at the heavens and see the declaration of God's glory and the expanse of his power? What influence might that have on our lives? God's glory and his power. Yes, sir.
We were on our way home last night. Sherry looked at the moon. She said, "Look at the moon," she says. "It's hard to believe, and it's exciting. This is the same moon that Adam and Eve looked at. The same sun, the same moon." And I got all excited. I said, "And the same stars." And we were thinking, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's the same moon, same stars, same sun that Adam and Eve saw when they were here on Earth.
Amen. Amen to that. And you think about that because you're going right back to the very foundation of creation in that, Adam and Eve. And you're going back to God's power and God's glory. And the inference is, if he can do all that, what then? What is impossible for him? What? And the reason we look at that and think about that and just simply examine the heavens and the sky and the firmament is so that we can realize, why then do I box God in and assume he has no power? Or he has no control? Or he can't do? Or this is somehow for him impossible? Really hard. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So then, is this the response? And unfortunately, as you and I continue reading Romans 1, what do we come to find is that man all too often responds with the opposite mindset. And that's what I was just starting to explain. In other words, instead of seeing that and ascribing to God the glory and power due him, man holds the truth in unrighteousness, and they change the truth of God into a lie, and they fail to glorify God and to worship him as they ought, and they're definitely not thankful. So the typical response to this declaration of God's glory and God's power is not the fear and respect that we typically think ought to come of it. It just isn't. It's fear and anxiety still. And so we have to get back to the mindset of when you walk outside, give God the glory due. Be in awe of the sheer show of power that that is. And what does that glory and that power have to do with you? Because when he talks about creation, what does he say about the birds of the air? How much does he care for the birds? What does he say about the flowers of the field? That's just wildflowers that grow. It's not like someone went out and planted this beautiful garden. It's just wildflowers that grow out there, whatever. What does he say about those flowers? And then how does he relate all of that to you? If he cares so much for that, and he takes care so much for that, then how much more, he says, more, not less, more, not even equal, more, does he take care of us? So the one enumerates the many glories of God filling the sky as with hash marks of the evidences of his Godhead. And the other puts his handiwork on bold display, showing the magnificence of his eternal power and Godhead. And that's what we want to look at when we see this guy. And it goes a step further because that is just a blanket statement. What does he say in verse 2? Not only the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show with his handiwork, but day unto day utters speech and night unto night shows knowledge. What does that mean? Day unto day utters speech and night unto night shows knowledge. In fact, that speech and that knowledge, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It has gone throughout all the earth and that word to the end of the world. That's one thought. On one hand, the general revelation of creation reveals God's eternal power and Godhead. But on the other hand, it reveals God's infinite wisdom, and that wisdom speaks. Where do you find wisdom speaking in the scripture? In the book of Proverbs. So literally, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Day unto day pours out, it gushes forth something spoken, some sort of word or utterance. In other words, it is communicating. Because the day doesn't literally speak. I mean, you don't walk outside and the day's like, hey, good to see you. I hope it's not too cold. That doesn't speak, but it speaks. And the idea is that every day sends forth some kind of communication from God in abundance. So there is an unfailing testimony of God, which the days reflect. There's some unfailing wisdom of God, which the days show us. And just as day unto day utters speech, night unto night shows knowledge. It breathes it, it exhales it. But what kind of knowledge? The word literally means awareness, right? And that's why when you look out at things like the moon and the stars and you start to consider all that vast creation, or if you're like my son and you're interested in space and you're like, you know, I think we could get to Mars in under 5 years. They just need to build better rockets, and I bet I could tell them how to do that. You know, things like that. And the kid's only a senior. Awareness. When you go out and look at that sky, it's awareness. What is man that thou art mindful of him? It's an awareness. Nine of tonight brings forth a certain awareness. The day bids us to labor among our fellow men, and interestingly enough, usually covers anything beyond the immediate sky with light, so that you can't usually see past the firmament and the clouds. While the night, on the other hand, when you stop working and when you're not too busy, everything is immediately visible. Now you have time to sit and contemplate and meditate and think, and that is exhaling to you knowledge. Knowledge, a deeper awareness. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, here's something interesting. If day unto day is uttering speech and night unto night is breathing out knowledge, by what sense are you getting that information? If it's not literally speaking where you're hearing it with the ear, where are you getting that information? With the eye. It's observation with the eye. So God is communicating to you through the eye. What you see. And what you see when you look out at that night sky is not your immediate environment. It is that which is beyond you. That which compels you to wonder. And what is it supposed to draw your wondering to? Even his power and Godhead. And they utter speech which is plural. There's no specific vocalization, regular form of communication where their voice is not heard. In other words, everyone of every language and of every tongue gets to walk out in the day and look at the sky. Everyone of every vocalization and every tongue gets to walk out in the night, and they get to see or have communicated to them God's power, God's God, his glory, and his Godhead. They get to see it all. Everyone gets this. And there is no barrier of language. It is common among men. And it is a voice, it's a calling sound, the personification of nature putting forth the call to be heard, being heard. And it carries a nuance of obedience, right? In other words, that sound that is going out and the line that goes out through all the earth is something that it is saying to be respected. In other words, you should be thinking this, and it's trying to bring all things together to the same thought. So there's an obedience to what you hear. And it's an interesting thing because when you think that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if you have something that is drawing your attention to the same consideration and to the same quote-unquote hearing, as it were, the day and today that utter speech and the night and tonight that's uttering knowledge, it's supposed to breed faith. It's supposed to breed faith. And that's what's so interesting about all of this, and that's why I wanted to stop with a little word of encouragement this morning, because it's like, hey, did you know that just by going outside, God expects you to be encouraged in your faith? If his glory is that grand and his power is that mighty, you should be strengthened and encouraged to think of how he intends to work and craft and create in your own life. And it's a measure of increasing faith. It is in every language. The voice is heard. They all hear it. And that line is gone throughout all the earth. There is an expectation, a purpose that's being communicated, and everybody is supposed to come into conformity to that line. And it is faith. And that's why I go back to say, where else do you find a voice calling out? And where do you see wisdom speaking? And when you think of Proverbs, what does it say? It says, wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying. And do you literally hear this? No. And what is she saying? How long, ye simple ones, will you love your simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And it is a cry for you to grow in knowledge. Knowledge that's tempered by faith. If all that you see is supposed to point to God's glory and his power, and is supposed to be breeding faith, it is also supposed to put you on a quest for knowledge, because it makes you wonder. Are you not the least bit curious when it comes to those kinds of things? Now, some of my kids have gone through biology. You know that biology where they teach you all about the plants and the chlorophyll and the sunshine and the water and the minerals of the roots and how the flower grows, and they're all sitting there listening. Oops, sorry. They're all sitting there listening to the teacher, bored out of their minds. Oh, when am I ever going to use this stuff? I'm not going to be a biology teacher. I don't care how the plant grows. Just make it look good. Can it just be red? I just want red right here. So I'm going to plant something that's supposed to be red. The package says red. They're just so bored. But yet, are you not the least bit curious of how God works all of that? Because the more somebody digs into science, and it's interesting because if you talk to Frank Bear about this, he'll tell you all about it, because he is a studier of science, specifically space science and a lot of things, but a studier of science nonetheless. And the more, if you are honest with what you find as you study through science, if you are honest, what does it lead you to conclude? There is a creator. This has to be intelligent design. This stuff could not possibly happen with the going theories that they've got out there today. It could not possibly happen. There's no statistical measure in which this works. And in fact, the very theories contradict the actual laws that are out there, and yet we're promoting the theories like they're the laws, and we're holding them above one and above the other just so that we can continue on in our ignorance of God, not our knowledge. And wisdom cries. It cries everywhere. It utters her voice in the streets. That's just general places. In the chief places of concourse, that's the gathering of the people. In this, the openings of the gates, the entrance in and out of cities. And it simply asks, how long do you want to be simple? How long do you want to stick your head in the sand and not know this creator? How long do you want to delight in scorning away this intelligence that's designed it all? How long do you want to hate knowledge? turn you, and I will make known my words. Because day and today utter speech, and night and tonight showeth knowledge. And there is no language in which their voice is not heard. There is no communication problem. And their words are gone out how far? To the very ends of the earth. Now, what does that conclude? What about the people on the some Pacific island that nobody knows about? It's 2024. Somehow we don't know there's a body of land that exists somewhere, and we don't know with all the satellites that there's people on that thing. We can't tell. And there's some Aboriginal-style tribe of ancientness who's out there, and they have never had a missionary come, and they don't know anything. And what about those people? What about the gospel to them? And what if they die and they've never heard of Christ? Are they really going to go to hell? I mean, how do we know all this? And oh, how unfair, and blah, blah, on and on and on it goes. You can hear the reasoning of like the 14-year-old mind. Their word is gone out to the end of the world. What's not covered by creation? What's not covered by day and by night? What doesn't spur the mind toward curiosity? The communication is there. It is a visual one, but it's there. It's there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm getting at is simply this. God communicates with you beyond ways you realize at times. We often think that just because we sit in our devotions and we open up the Bible, that our eyes are glancing across the white page with the black words, and we are now sitting in a way that we are basically feeding ourselves something, and that God is going to miraculously then work through that and draw something to our attention because this is the way he intended to communicate. We think that. Then we go into our prayer closet and we say, okay, I'm going to talk to God, and what we end up doing is spending 95% of however much time we put into prayer with a big long list of our needs, because we are certainly a needy people, and other people's needs and intercessory needs for others, and back and forth we go, and we spend very little time listening to anything, and we say, now this is my style of communication with God, and maybe he might speak to me in my prayer and bring something to mind, and there's a form of communication that God does. Then we come to church on these certain specific days a week, and we have our little service schedule set out, and we have it all mapped out, and we expect somebody to get up there and go blah, 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 and just go on about stuff we probably never heard before. I won't even understand. I wonder what this guy's even talking about. Why am I listening to this? And we assume that's the way God intends to communicate through somebody in some teaching respectable atmosphere and in some church setting and in some preaching kind of methodology or teaching. And that's the way God communicates. And we often close God off to those few things. Did I read here? Did I pray there? Did I go there? And that's kind of it. But God communicates far beyond what you and I realize, and it's for a purpose. And any time faith is weak, and any time we need strength or encouragement, just go out and observe. And let God encourage your heart. If I can do all that, what can't I do in your life? If this insurmountable odd and this big, huge thing is looming over you to which you have no idea and you are so anxious and so concerned about and you wonder if things will ever be whatever way and all this anxiety and fear, if that's what's clouding your vision, go out there and uncloud it. Go stare at something creational and let that speech come out. Just listen. Listen. You realize the scriptures say for a reason, be still and know that I am God. So go out in creation and be still. Listen. Listen with the eyes. Listen with the mind. Concentrate on what you see. Concentrate on the God behind what you see. Let him teach you the lesson he has. Let him encourage you with the strength of faith that he has, because he knows you individually and he knows what you need for the moment. He knows. And he's simply waiting for you to stop and listen. Literally, the heavens declare by hash mark and number. The firmament shows power, strength, might. Everything about creation speaks. but not necessarily with just the ear. So be mindful. I dare say at the end of today, we'll all get in our cars, we'll drive away, and we won't even think about the firmament in front of us. I usually don't because I'm the driver, so what do I have to concentrate on? The bozos in front of me who are going to stop short, who are going to pull out in front of me when I'm going 55 and they want to pull out and go 20, you know, those kinds of things. So I'm not usually looking. But anyone in the passenger seats, oh, they're looking all over the place. Oh, Dad, did you see that? Well, obviously I didn't, because that means I was looking to the left while I was driving straight, and you probably shouldn't drive straight in a car and look left. You should probably look straight. You know, wherever the car goes, your eyes go, that kind of thing. I always try to tell my kids that. It doesn't always work. But the point is, stop and consider.